When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown.
I drift back in time and I find my feet down on Main Street.
Two point one WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite. It's a Grand Haven Main Street spotlight. In the studio from Polaris Law, we have Greg Todd. Good morning, and how are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. I'm on your website right now. You offer all kinds of services. Let's start there.
So yeah, I've been an attorney for a little over 17 years. Actually, I think it's 18 now. Over the last year, we had another one of those anniversaries, and you know, we've done primarily litigation, which for those of you that don't know is where people go to court when they have a problem. You know, in America, we don't like the whole private justice thing. So we generally take our disputes to courts and let them resolve those issues. And that's essentially what litigation is. And that's been my focus since I graduated from law school in 2007.
Where'd you go to law school?
At Thomas M. Cooley.
Okay, yeah. I'm familiar with that. Yeah, do you like being in the courtroom? Do you like litigation?
I do. Okay. I do. It's actually a lot of fun. It's interesting. And honestly, outside of the big law firms, there just aren't a whole lot of lawyers out there who specialize in that and who take the time to get familiar with the ins and outs of the judges and the court rules and the rules of evidence. And so, you know, it's a niche that I found very easy to fill.
Very cool. How many people are in your law office, Polaris Law?
So currently I'm a one-man show.
Oh, you are? Okay, I get that. Yep, I understand that.
Yep, one of the big things that I wanted to do early on was focus on people instead of the billable hour. One of the most frustrating things that I had as far as my early law experience was it was really all about bill those hours.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you'll come into contact with clients where they'll be able to get through the case and you can do something on the case. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's worth the time expense, but sometimes it's just not. And yet, you know, when the hour is all that matters, then those needs get set aside. And so I do a cost benefit analysis on pretty much everything I do.
That's nice.
I talk to the clients and then we decide, is this worth the expense or do we want to, you know, try a different route in order to, you know, maintain some savings so that we can try to make what is never going to be an affordable process, at least somewhat more affordable.
That's nice to hear because I think anybody walking into a law firm, it's scary. It is. It can be, you know, and family law is so delicate.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just so delicate and there's a lot of emotion and people are scared. How do you handle cases like that?
So with respect to family law especially, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Emotions are high.
Sure.
Everybody's charged up. And one of the first things I do is, you know, I just, you know, hey, I'm here. I got you. We're going to get you through this. Now, tell me your story. And as a litigator, one of the things that I like to do is kind of boil it down to its essential facts, do some issue spotting, figure out what the issues are from a legal standpoint, not from an emotional standpoint.
Right.
And then I try to separate at least, for our conversations and for our purposes, the legal issues from the emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do have support groups and other professionals who are trained to deal with the emotional side of things if, you know, that's necessary.
Right.
But I find the vast majority of the time when you take away the fear of the unknown with respect to the legal system, that gives them perspective. And I think just having a conversation with a good attorney who's going to be there to walk the walk with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that gives them, you know, a peace of mind. And, you know, as family law goes, one of the things that I like to do is treat it like any other litigation case.
Okay.
In that, yes, we have that extra factor of the children in there. And the children, obviously, the best interest of the children has to come first.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if somebody comes in and says, you know, I want to punish my spouse, I'm not the attorney for that.
Got it.
There is a range of outcomes that are very highly likely in most family law situations, and it really takes a lot for the court to deviate from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go out there and promise my clients things that ultimately I know the courts aren't going to deliver.
You're right. Yeah, that's good to hear. That's really, really good to hear. My one daughter had her first jury trial. She was on jury duty, and I was so happy that at first she was kind of like, and you know. she's like, I'm not going to try to get out of it. And I said, you shouldn't. I said, it's your duty. Wouldn't you want someone smart like you on your own jury if you were facing some sort of court battle? So she did what she had to do over 2 days in Kalamazoo. And I, you know, I just encourage people that, you know, try not to get out of it. I know it's time consuming. What are your thoughts on that?
So there's a couple different thoughts that I have. Obviously, the first thought is that, you know, everybody wants to get out of it. And I do have the secret to that.
I'm sure you do.
I don't know that I'll share it over the radio.
No, don't share it. No.
But I've been trying since, you know, since before I actually went to law school, I've been actually trying to sit on a jury.
You have?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Because I can't think that would probably be a more valuable experience.
It would.
Several years of law school was to my career. Just you could see the, you know, how the hot dogs are made, as it were.
For sure.
And, you know, with that, I've never been allowed. I've been called to serve a couple times, but nobody wants a lawyer on their jury.
Yeah, you're right. That's a fact. You're right about that. You're right. There's all kinds of services that you do provide. Real estate. What would that entail?
So real estate is interesting. Obviously, there's the breach of contract actions where somebody will sell their house to somebody. They'll have a signed deal, and all of a sudden somebody comes in with a higher offer. And so then they'll try to back out.
Mm-hmm.
That happens occasionally, although those are a lot easier to settle because the law is pretty clear on that. But we do boundary disputes. We do easements. One of the weirdest things that I've ever done is I had to evict a billboard from a piece of property.
You got to be kidding me.
Absolutely not.
That's interesting.
One of the things that I found very interesting is, and that's what that blog article is that people who own small businesses, they have to now disclose the beneficial interests, the people who have beneficial interests to the federal government under a law that was passed a couple years ago.
Okay.
And I've found that almost no one is aware of that fact.
Really?
And the penalties can be pretty severe for, you know, failing to do that within a timely manner. So I guess as just kind of a courtesy, you know, if someone out there listening owns an LLC or a corporation or some form of small business, they do well to, you know, talk to an attorney or at least do the research and find out if they need to get those disclosures in and when those disclosures would be due.
It's a Main Street Spotlight. We're speaking with Greg Todd, a lawyer. He owns Polaris Law, PLC. I got a lawyer in the studio, so I have to ask about this because this is something that you would see a lot in the broadcasting business. Non-competes. And people would say to you, well, they're not valid. They're not valid. But here's the thing. You have a non-compete and you want to go to another radio station, okay? And a lawyer's telling you that you're or someone's saying to you, your non-compete is not valid. But the employer that you want to go to is saying, I'm not going to hire you until your other employer lets you go. And said, you know, so are non-competes valid in the state?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
I'm sorry. Just a general, or is it a case-by-case thing?
Okay, so non-competes are, the federal government, regulatory-wise or regulation-wise, recently said that non-competes aren't valid.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So that's already been declared unconstitutional in certain places, is my understanding.
Okay, okay.
And so with that, it's kind of up in the air as to whether that federal component is valid or not.
Okay.
So that's piece number one.
Uh-huh.
Prior to that federal ruling, non-competes were, in fact, very, very valid, but they had to be very specific.
Oh.
They had to be geographically construed to make sense with the area.
Okay.
And they were always very narrowly tailored based on those circumstances.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was a local bakery that I litigated for who had a secret recipe. And one of their employees took their, I would say, world famous secret recipe to another bakery. And we were very, very quickly rewarded with an injunction against them. And if they would have persisted, we would have ended up getting a lot of damages.
Wow.
So they're definitely valid, at least unless the federal aspect of things doesn't stop them. And at this point, it looks like that is on hold.
Okay.
At least the last time I checked. But again,
Well, I appreciate you at least answering the question because I know it was loaded, but I had to if I have an attorney in here. So that leads me to contracts then. When a lot of people, they get hired, they get a contract. And you're willing to look over the contract for someone if they call you and say, hey, I got this contract and I don't understand any of it. Can you help me?
Yeah, absolutely. As with anything, obviously, over the air, I can't really give legal advice.
No, of course not. Right.
You know, general information.
Sure.
And educational information.
Yeah.
But yeah, if somebody has a contract and they want to know what the details are, I'd be happy to sit down. We'll go over it. We'll explain it. Oftentimes, people aren't really so much as what does this say? What does this do? But here's what I want it to do. Is it doing that? How can we make this better?
Okay.
You know, one of the things that I see more and more and more up until the last few years was people would go to the internet and they would get their estate plan or their contract through the internet. And unfortunately, even with the algorithms we have now, the programs can't really ferret out all the right details and spot the issues in advance. And so as a litigator, a big portion of my business is cleaning up the messes from people who went to the internet and tried to do their law through the internet.
Yeah, I bet every day is a different day for you over at Polaris Law. I mean, you know, everything that we've talked about, all the services that you offer. So you're in Centertown, which is a great location. How do you like being down there?
I like it. It's, you know, for me, it's centrally located for everyone. It's still pretty close to the court.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, it's a little bit off the beaten path. So people don't have to fight for our parking lot. And
well, that's
don't
true.
Have to
You're
walk
right.
Very
right.
Far.
That's a good point.
You know, doing some of the elder law and the probate stuff and even estate planning, we'll have elderly clients. And so everything's, you know, we're on the ground floor. We're handicap accessible and we've got all of those, you know, services available so that we can pretty much cater to any client that comes in and make them comfortable and feel at home in what's probably otherwise going to be a fairly awkward, uncomfortable situation.
That's good to hear. That's really, really good to hear. The website is at gregtodd.com. I'll put a link to the website in the podcast section. And if you'd like to reach Polaris Law, the phone number is 616-422-5291. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's another Grand Haven Main Street Spotlight.
So go down. Everything's